यशोदा नंदना व्रज जन रंजना यमुना तीरा वन चारी यमुना तीरा वन चारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा राम राम हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा राम राम हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा राम राम हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे रामा राम रामा हरे हरे Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Srila Prabhupada. Jai Jai Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada.
Jayam Vishnu Pada Paramahamsa Parivrata Jagacharya Stotra Satasi Shrimati Divine Grace. I see Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki, Shri Shri Gaura Nityaya ki, Shri Shri Radha Vallabha ki, Shri Shri Jagannath Balada Sudaramayi ki, Ananda Koti Vaishnava Vrindi ki, Nita Gaur Premanande.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Hare Krishna. So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter Number 9. And the title of the chapter is Prahlad Pacifies the Lord with Praise. Text number 19. Canto 7, Chapter 9, Text number 19. I will spend 30 seconds, if you don't mind, just telling you what this verse means. And then we will sing it together, so that when we recite, we can recite with the meaning. Is that okay? So, balasya neha sharanam pitaro narsimha. So, balasya means children. And sharanam means surrender. We already know this word. And pitaro means the parents. So, this is prayers by Prahlad Maharaj to Narsimha Dev, of course. And Prahlad is saying that the parents, for the children who are surrendered to the parents, they cannot be supported and protected by the parents. First line. Second line. Nartasya cha agadam. So, artha means disease. And agadam, Prabhupada translates as medicine. So, those who are surrendered to the medicines and the doctors and the physicians, they cannot also be supported by them and protected by them. And then majjato nahu. Majjato means drowning. And nahu means boat. So those who are drowning in the river or in the ocean cannot be protected by the boat. When? And then we go to the last line, Tavat Upekshita Nam. For those who are not protected by the Lord, nothing else can protect them, such as parents cannot protect the children, medicines cannot protect the diseased people, diseased patients, and the boat cannot protect the man who is drowning if they are not ultimately protected by the Lord. So with that, let's try to recite this verse. Yeah?
Balasya neha sharanam pitaro narsimha. Balasya neha sharanam pitaro narsimha. Nartasya cha gadamudanvati majjato nahu. Nartasya cha gadamudanvati majjato nahu. Taptasya tat pratividhirya ihanja seshthas. Taptasya tat pratividhirya ihanja seshthas. Tavad vibhot anubhritam tvadupekshitanam. Tavad vibhot anubhritam tvadupekshitanam. Balasya neha sharanam pitaro narsimha. Nartasya cha gadamudanvati majjato nahu. Taptasya tat pratividhirya ihanja seshthas. Tavad vibhot anubhritam tvadupekshitanam. Balasya neha sharanam pitaro narsimha. Nartasya cha gadamudanvati majjato nahu. Taptasya tat pratividhirya ihanja seshtas. Tavad vibhot anubhritam tvadupekshitanam. Balasya neha sharanam pitaro narsimha. Nartasya cha gadamudanvati majjato nu. Taptasya tat pratividhirya ihanja seshtas. Tavad vibhot anubhritam tvadupekshitanam. Balasya neha sharanam pitaro narsimha. Nartasya cha gadamudanvati majjato nahu. Taptasya tat pratividhirya ihanja seshtas. Tavad vibhot anubhritam tvadupekshitanam. Balasya neha sharanam pitaro narsimha. Tartasya cha gadamudanvati majjato nahu. Taptasya tat pratividhirya ihanja seshtas. Tavad vibhot anubhritam tvadupekshitanam. Balasya neha sharanam pitaro narsimha. Nartasya cha gadamudanvati majjato nahu. Taptasya tat pratividhirya ihanja seshtas. Tavad vibhot anubhritam tvadupekshitanam. What else? No? Balasya neha sharanam pitaro narsimha. Nārtasya ca gada mudanvati majjato nahu. Taptasya tat pratividhirya ihanja seshtas. Tavad vibhotanubhritam tvadupekshitanam.
Balasya, of a little child. Na, not. Iha, in this world. Sharanam, shelter, protection. Pitaro, the father and mother. Narsimha, oh my Lord Narsimhadev. Na, neither. Artasya, of a person suffering from some disease. Cha, also. Agadam, medicine. Udanvati, in the water of the ocean. Majjataha, of a person who is drowning. Nahu, the boat. Taptasya, of a person suffering from a condition of material misery. Tat pratividhihi, the counteraction invented for stopping the suffering of material existence. Yaha, that which, iha, in this material world. Anjasa, very easily. Istaha, accepted as a remedy. Tavat, similarly. Vibho, oh my Lord, oh Supreme. Tanubhritam, of the living entities who have accepted material bodies. Tvat upekshitanam. Remember this word as well, yeah? Tvat upekshitanam. This is what Prabhupada is explaining in his purport. Yeah? So we'll come back to this terminology. So just remember this at the back of your mind. Upekshita nam. Who are neglected by you and not accepted by you. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki? My Lord Narasimhadev, O Supreme, because of bodily conception of life, embodied souls neglected and not cared for by you cannot do anything for their betterment. Whatever remedies they accept, although perhaps temporarily beneficial, are certainly impermanent. For example, a father and mother cannot protect their child. A physician and medicine cannot relieve a suffering patient. And a boat on the ocean cannot protect a drowning man. We'll read the translation again by breaking it down a little bit, yeah? Prahlad Maharaj is praying to Narasimhadev. O my Lord Narasimhadev, O Supreme, because of bodily conception of life, embodied souls neglected. So this is the point. Embodied souls who are neglected and not cared for by the Lord. So in other words, once for those who have chosen to be neglected by the Lord, in other words, you know, the non-devotees, whatever remedies they accept, although perhaps temporarily beneficial, that's the main point also Prahlad Maharaj makes, yeah? That the remedies, the material remedies that we take are sometimes beneficial, and we know this with experience, but the benefit is only temporary, are certainly impermanent. And then Prahlad Maharaj gives three examples. Try to register these three examples as well, I'll ask you. Okay? For example, a father and mother cannot protect their child, example number one. A father or mother cannot protect their child if the child is not surrendered to the Lord. First example. Second example. A physician and medicine cannot relieve a suffering patient. Doctors cannot save a patient if the patient is not surrendered to the Lord. And third one. A boat on the ocean cannot protect a drowning man if the passengers on the boat are not surrendered to the Lord. Titanic comes to mind, yeah? Can't go past Titanic. Purport. Purport writes a long purport. And we'll enjoy the purport, yeah? We'll break it down as we go, so that we register the points as he writes, rather than just reading in one shot. Purport. Through parental, and Prabhupada picks up on the three examples now, yeah? That's how he begins his lecture. Through parental care, one. Through remedies for different kinds of disease, two. And through means of protection on the water, three. And Prabhupada, Prahlad Maharaj said the protection in the water at the third example, remember? And Prabhupada is so genius, yeah? Prabhupada lifts it to another level. Just look at how Prabhupada is so sweet, yeah? And how Prabhupada adds to this. I'll read this again. Through parental care, one. Through remedies for different kinds of disease, two. And through means of protection on the water, which was three. And Prabhupada continues, in the air and on the land. So Prahlad Maharaj is stopped on the water. Prabhupada takes it to the air and on the land to say, nowhere you can be protected. Why do you think Prabhupada takes it to the air and the land? In the water, and water was what Prahlad Maharaj said. But Prabhupada takes it to air and the land. I was thinking of this. Why did Prabhupada broaden it so much? And one answer came to me. But I want to see what you think. Anybody who's awake? Yeah. I had the same thought. Because Hiranyakashipu was given the boon that he cannot be killed anywhere, right? The land, air, and water. And Prabhupada picks up on that. I think that's the answer. Anybody else had another answer? There's no right or wrong answer. That's what I thought. That's what Prabhu is also thinking. So protection on the water, in the air, and on the land, there is always an endeavor for relief from various kinds of suffering in the material world. But none of them are guaranteed measures for protection. So Prabhupada makes the point that all these material remedies are not the guaranteed measures for protection. So that opens up a question, right? What is therefore a guaranteed measure? And we'll park that question in the back of our mind for now. We'll keep going. They may be beneficial temporarily. Prabhupada acknowledges the fact that material remedies can be beneficial temporarily. And this is one of a very typical question that we get asked, yeah? And we ourselves ask of ourselves. If we, given that we are surrendered to the Lord, do we need to go to the doctors? Do we need to do financial planning? Do we need to do budgeting? Do we need to invest in houses? Do we need to go to office? This is a very fundamental question that we get asked at the beginning of our Krishna consciousness. Or should we just come to the temple and chant Hare Krishna 24/7, which we can't do anyway. So if you're not going to office, I don't know what we will do. But in any case, Prabhupada acknowledges here. And Prabhupada will elaborate on this couple of times. So just now, this is an answer to a very, very basic question, very, very frequently asked question. Prabhupada writes, therefore, they may be beneficial temporarily, point number one, but they afford no permanent benefit. Despite the presence, and then Prabhupada now elaborates on the three examples. Despite the presence of a father and mother, a child cannot be protected from accidental death, disease, and various other miseries. No one can help, including the parents. Ultimately, the shelter is the Lord, and one who takes shelter of the Lord is protected. So the final protection comes from the Lord, not from the parents. But that does not mean that parents should not care for their children. That is also required, Prabhupada acknowledges. But the ultimate protection is the Lord. Prabhupada continues. This is guaranteed. Remember, Prabhupada opened up by saying that remedial measures are not a guaranteed measure of protection. And now Prabhupada brings in the guaranteed measure of protection. And that is what? What is the guaranteed measure of protection? Protection from the Lord. Very nice. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 9.31, Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati. O son of Kunti, declare it boldly that my devotees never perishes. Therefore, unless one is protected by the mercy of the Lord, no remedial measure can act effectively. One should consequently depend fully on the causeless mercy of the Lord. Although as a matter, okay, now this is another important point, yeah? I'll slow down on this, if you can register. Although as a matter of routine duty, one must of course accept other remedial measures. Prabhupada reiterates his point that other remedial measures such as going to the doctor and taking out insurance and doing financial planning should be done though as a matter of routine duty. You can memorize these words because this is effectively what we can preach. Yeah, this is a bulletproof answer. Although as a matter of routine duty, one must of course accept other remedial measures. Sometimes people ask this question as well. Should we go to counselors? And what's the answer? This is the answer. Although as a matter of routine duty, one must of course accept other remedial measures. This is coming to the professional counselors. No one can protect one who is neglected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this material world, everyone is trying to counteract the onslaught of material nature. But everyone is ultimately fully controlled by material nature. Therefore, even though the so-called philosophers and scientists try to surmount the onslaught of material nature, they have not been able to do so. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 13.9 that the real sufferings of the material world are four: janma, mirtu, jara, vyadhi, birth, death, old age, and disease. In the history, and Prabhupada, just look at this line, so sweet. In the history of the world, no one has been successful in conquering these miseries imposed by material nature. So Prabhupada, to make his point more emphatic, he says that not even in the history of the world, anybody has survived these four things. So what are the chances that you and I can survive janma, mirtu, jara, vyadhi? Zero chance. So that's why Prabhupada used the word guarantee. And Prabhupada substantiates his usage of the word guarantee by quoting on the precedents to say, in the history of mankind, nobody has been able to escape janma, mirtu, jara, vyadhi. So why do we think we can escape it? Then Prabhupada continues, prakriti kriyamanani gunahi karmani sarvasha. Nature, prakriti, is so strong that no one can overcome her stringent laws. Just Mataji, little bit softer. So-called scientists, philosophers, religionists, and politicians should therefore conclude that they cannot offer facilities to the people in general. They should make vigorous propaganda to awaken the populace and raise them to the platform of Krishna consciousness. Our humble attempt to propagate the Krishna consciousness movement all over the world is the only remedy. Not parents, not doctors, and not the bow. Is the only remedy that can bring about a peaceful and happy life. We can never be happy without the mercy of the Supreme Lord. Tvat upekshita nam. If we keep displeasing our Supreme Father, we shall never be happy within this material world in either the upper or lower planetary systems. Om Agyanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruhe Nama Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Desa Tarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivashadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Very nice. You have concluded the lecture. That was my concluding line. So I'll start from the conclusion. Okay, so we will just repeat what we have said for a few minutes and then we'll elaborate on it, right? So the context of this particular text is that Lord Narasimhadev has appeared in a pastime that we are all familiar with. Lord Narasimhadev has killed Hiranyakashipu, and Narasimhadev is pretty angry at the moment, you know, he is fuming. And the demigods are trying to appease him, albeit unsuccessfully. Even, you can come this side if you don't mind. Yeah, you can come this side if you don't mind. So the demigods are trying to appease Lord Narasimhadev unsuccessfully. And even the likes of Indra and Lord Shiva are not able to pacify the Lord at the moment. And then at this point in time, Lord Brahma requests Prahlad Maharaj to step forward and trying to pacify Lord Narasimhadev. And there is a very good lesson actually we can learn immediately from the context itself. That the question that comes is, why were the demigods not able to pacify Lord Narasimhadev? Now that Hiranyakashipu has been killed, why is the Lord still so angry? And Prabhupada tells us, you know, this is so useful for us to say that the reason that the devatas have not been able to pacify the Lord is because the Lord is actually also angry with the demigods. Lord was super angry with Hiranyakashipu for sure, no doubt. But then why was the Lord angry with the demigods? And Prabhupada explains that the Lord was angry with the demigods by saying that when my devotee Prahlad Maharaj was in danger, how come none of you cared to protect him? So here, just see, the Lord is angry even with his Mishra devotees, demigods, because they had not protected another devotee.
Now, what is the lesson for us? Our situation is, at least I should say mine, and I'm sure most of you are also in my same bucket. Our situation is different. We offend devotees. If the Lord is not happy with the demigods for not protecting the Prahlad, not protecting Prahlad Maharaj, whom the demigods had not offended. No, demigods had not done anything wrong as such, apart from not protecting. So if the Lord can be angry with them for not taking action against any wrongdoing, what sort of actions the Lord will take against us for doing something wrong? So whenever, you know, we go into a devotee conflict, we should be extremely careful. The Lord is not going to pardon us. The only solution to that is what? Well, of course, seek forgiveness from the devotee. But better than that is what? Don't offend the devotees. nip it in the bud, as the Americans say. No, don't offend the devotees. There's no need to ask for forgiveness. No. So devotee aparad is number one Vaishnava aparad, as we know. So we have to be extremely careful. Now, Prabhupada also explained that there is another reason why Narasimha Dev is still fuming. And Prabhupada explains that the reason for that is the Lord wanted Prahlad Maharaj to actually step forward and then given the opportunity to pray to the Lord will glorify Narasimha Dev. So the Lord is always Bhakta Vatsala, as we know. He is always willing the devotee to take all the prestige and all the prominence over him. Again, lesson for us. Our problem is what? We want prominence. We want prestige. We want to be praised. But the Lord is always ready to give all the praise to His devotees and remain in the background. And we know this, right? Krishna, no, Arjun took all the heroism and Krishna was just silent. Hanuman took all the heroism from Ramayana and Lord Ram is silent. You know, like that. So two lessons for us learned, yeah? Don't offend the devotees. It's very dangerous. For our spiritual growth, devotee offense is very dangerous. Number two, always try to glorify the devotees and the Lord, you know, rather than seeking self-glory. Anyway, that was the context. In terms of the text of the verse itself, Prahlad Maharaj is saying that notwithstanding all the protection that we can get, nothing is going to ultimately protect us if the Lord is not willing to protect us. And the Lord doesn't protect those who choose not to be protected by the Lord. The Lord is neutral. If we surrender to Him, then He takes care of us. If we don't surrender to Him, then material nature takes care of us. Ultimately, the Lord takes care. So, choice is ours. So, if this is the Lord, and this is the material nature, and this is the Jiva. So, Jiva has the choice to be directly protected by the Lord, and we are blissing out in this situation, we are happy. Or, we can surrender to the material nature, which is controlled by the Lord, and then therefore suffer for the sins that we have committed. And Prabhupada explains in the purport that the stringent laws of material nature is very, very rigid. It will not let us loose. For things that we have done, it will capture us and punish us. And no matter what medicines we take, when the sinful reactions come, the medicine will not take us. We may have all the richness of the world. We may have all the insurance. We may have all the greatest of doctors present. But if the Lord is not willing to protect us, then nothing will save us. If we are traveling in the sea, and we may have the best of the cruise ship, Titanic, and if it's sinking, if the Lord doesn't want to protect us, then that will not save us. We may have the best of the parents, but if the Lord is not willing to protect us, then the parents cannot protect us. Now, conversely, we may not have the best of the medicines. If the Lord wants to protect us, nobody will be able to kill us. Whether it's COVID or the cousin of COVID. nothing will be able to kill us. The boat may be sinking. Everybody is dying and drowning in the Titanic collapse. But a small floating object may save us. Because the Lord is willing to protect us. We may have the worst of the parents. Like Hiranyakashipu. But if the Lord wants to protect us, then nobody can kill us. As Mahatma Prabhu said, Mare Krishna Rakhe, Prabhupada quoted this, no? Mare Krishna Rakhe Kaun, Rakhe Krishna Mare Kaun. You know, if the Lord wants to kill us, nothing can protect us. And vice versa, if the Lord wants to protect us, nothing can kill us. So and Prabhupada also said, you know, this particular line, as a matter of routine duty, one must of course accept the remedial measures. So let's register that. So as I said, you know, typical question, should we do this, should we go to office, should we take insurance, should we do financial planning, should our children even go to school? Some of you are smiling to say the answer is should be now. So should we do all this? And of course the answer is, this is just common sense. We don't have to be fanatics in Krishna consciousness, that none of these things are required. Trust me, if we have toothache, no matter how many extra rounds you chant, I don't think the toothache will go away. Use common sense, go to a dentist. Not going to the dentist is irresponsible. Now, if we are pure devotees, maybe another thing, you know, maybe it will go away. But certainly at my level, you know, toothache means go to the dentist. If you have a problem in the marriage, go to a counselor, you know. If you are working, plan to retire. Do your financial planning. Send your kids to school. No, they should be educated. No, they should find work. Devotees can open up businesses. This is just all ordinary day, no, daily life. These things are required. But what our prayer should be, just as Prahlad Maharaj is praying to Narasimha Dev, the mood of our prayer should be, O my Supreme Lord, I have made these material arrangements as a matter of my routine duty. But I know that these things are not my eventual protectors. They are my apparent protectors. Ultimately, it all rests on you. If you so desire, whatever, let that may happen. But, O my Lord, also please reveal to me what is your plan in my life. What is your plan in my life? I'm making my plans dependent. I would like to make my plans dependent on your plans. So, my dear Lord, reveal to me your plan so that I can also make it my plans aligned to your plan. And that's devotion. So don't neglect material duties. At the same time, take material duties as a matter of dependence on the Lord. Now in this regard, as Prahlad Maharaj is praying, you know, to say what... Yes, Prabhu?
How can we know that Lord's plans, because we are not able to access His plans?
Yeah. Yeah, so the question was, you know, how do we know that our thinking is aligned with the Lord? 2 points on that. One is that it is very difficult to know the Lord's plan. Even Bhishma Dev says to Pandavas, you know, it is very difficult to know the Lord's plan. But then Bhishma Dev says to the Pandavas, follow the Lord's plan. So Prabhupada bridged that gap by saying that we can know the Lord's plan by surrendering to the Lord's devotee. And that is the necessity of having a guru in life. Guru is who? One who is Tattva Darshina. Tattva Darshi. Tattva Darshi means what? Darshi means vision, and Tattva means the truth. So the spiritual master knows the truth. How does he know the truth? How does he know the Lord's plan? Because he has seen the Lord's plan. So once we surrender to the spiritual master, he is able to reveal us the Lord's plan, and he guides us. When we go, you know, take the exit from the freeway too prematurely, then he recalibrates our GPS, no, Guru Parampara system. He recalibrates our GPS to bring us back on the right line so that we can march. So yeah, temporary pauses and exits may be okay, as long as we don't lose sight of the Lord's plan. Third point to make is, that the Lord's plan is very easy. Surrender to Him. Sarva dharman parityaja mamekam sharanam braja. How much more difficult it can be? And how do we surrender to the Lord? That could be another question, because Krishna said, just surrender to me. But how do we surrender to the Lord? Well, it's pretty easy. Prabhupada has given the regime from morning 4:30 to evening 9 o'clock. What else do we need? No, it's all blueprint. Once we go to the office, no, our job description is already there. So Prabhupada has already given us our devotee description. This is what you do, this is what you don't do. Not too hard at all. So in a very simple way, it's all revealed. In a more complicated way, Guru will direct us if we go wrong. Yeah, does that help you? Yeah, sure. Okay. So, back to the point. So, I was saying, Parikshit Maharaj also asked Sukhdev Goswami a very similar question, you know. When Parikshit Maharaj saw the suffering of the Kaliyugaites, you know, out of full compassion, he asked Sukhdev Goswami this question to say, what is the remedy for them? What remedy can the people in Kaliyug take to reduce their suffering, or to, you know, remove the suffering altogether? And Sukhdev Goswami gives, first of all, the remedy of karma kanda, and I'll speak on that, you know. Sukadeva Goswami says that depending on the gravity of our sin that we have done, in the scriptures there are different kind of karma kanda remedies, such as do this demigod worship, that demigod worship, so on and so forth. And Sukadeva Goswami talks about prayaschitta, which means what? Which means atonement. So there's a difference between, by the way, there's a difference between paschatap and prayaschitta. What is the difference? Paschatap means remembering the wrong that we have done internally, but not making any action. So it's more like a feeling of remorse, no, or guilt. I'm feeling bad that I have done something, but there is no solid actions, no, to not repeat those actions or to mitigate those actions. Whereas prayaschitta is different, no. Prayaschitta means again it's an expansion of paschatap, whereby we acknowledge the wrong we have done and take solid actions not to reincur those or not to do those activities again. So Sukadeva Goswami talks about atonement, to nullify our, or to at least nullify or reduce our sinful reactions that are coming to come our way. Now this doesn't sound very devotee talk, yeah? Because no, we don't go in that direction. And why does Sukadeva Goswami give this remedy? He was just testing Parikshit Maharaj to say whether he will be satisfied with this solution. And of course Parikshit Maharaj was not. So when Parikshit Maharaj looked little amused, Sukadeva Goswami said, Parikshit Maharaj actually said that the solution that you have given to me sounds like an elephant bathing. Now, this is Canto 5 of Bhagavatam, you know. An elephant, when it bathes in the river, it goes back and immediately sprinkles all the dust on its body. So what's the point of doing prayaschitta when we're going to do the sin again? So Sukadeva Goswami says, another remedy is what? Do jnana karma, jnana kanda. From karma kanda to jnana kanda. What is jnana kanda? He acknowledges that people, if you do prayaschitta, we are still ignorant. And that's why we do the sinful activities again. But if we have enlightenment through jnana, then we will not do those activities. So it's enlightening, you know. So avidya is the cause of sinful activity. Vidya is the cause of good activity. So he said, get enlightenment. Now Parikshit Maharaj was not satisfied again. He said, even if there is enlightenment, the desire to... So, ignorance has gone with enlightenment, but the desire has not gone. The desire is still in the heart to do sinful activities. So Parikshit Maharaj quotes the example of like how the bamboo is, you know, burnt in the forest fire. When the bamboo is burnt in the forest fire, the root of the bamboo still remains. And when the climatic conditions are just about right, and if there is sufficient flow, or no, downpour of rain, then the bamboo grows again. So when the sinful desires in the heart, what is the use of knowledge if the desire is not eradicated? It will grow again. So Parikshit Maharaj was not satisfied with that answer either. And then ultimately, finally, Sukadeva Goswami gave him the final conclusive answer that he always wanted to give, to say, bhakti is the cause of, bhakti is the best remedy that can eradicate our sinful desires. And bhakti has got two benefits. One, it nullifies our sinful reactions to the degree of our surrender to the Lord in proportion, yatha mam prapadyante, to the degree that we surrender to the Lord, charanagati, to that degree our sinful reactions are removed, one benefit. And the other one is that it removes the sinful desire from the heart of the person. So when the desire is removed, then we don't do those activities again. And at that point in time, Sukadeva Goswami quoted the famous Ajamila pastime, to say how Ajamila, you know, when he chanted the name of the Lord helplessly, how the Lord protected him. You know, when the Yamadutas were ready to take him to Yamalok, you know, the Vishnudutas came and protected. So again, see, Ajamila story, how the Lord protected Ajamila. Let's look at, that was from Canto 5 of Srimad Bhagavatam. Yeah. Let's look at some of our own examples that we can perhaps resonate more with, yeah, in terms of how the Lord has protected. And before that, I'll make this point, you know, a lot of times, we are a preaching movement, right? Krishna consciousness is a preaching movement. We are all preachers. Some of us are, you know, frontline preachers. Some of us are back office preachers, but we are all preachers. Prabhupada said we are in a preaching movement. So a lot of times when it comes to frontline preaching, some people are worried about their image. No, I am shy of speaking in public. What if I make a mistake? No. Now, when it comes to preaching, no, some level of risk is good to take. When we take the risk in saving the Lord gets very pleased. And who's the ultimate protector? The Lord is ultimate protector anyway. No? So we may be shy, we may be scared, we may be afraid to speak or do any seva. But if we have that full faith and dependence on the Lord, then rest assured, everything will line up. And even if there is some embarrassment, so what? What's the big deal? No. It's the self-ego, you know, it's the false ego that inhibits us from actually, you know, growing in our potential that the Lord has given us. So if we just let the ego go, that we will be embarrassed or we will make mistakes, then there is nothing to fear. So always be dependent. And with that examples, when we go back to the, you know, to the initial days of Krishna consciousness, when, you know, when we read Salted Bread, for example, there's just so many devotees who took so much risk for Srila Prabhupada and so much risk for their devotion. And we know very well with the history behind us, with the benefit of hindsight, how the Lord protected them at every single stage. They may have been beaten, they may have been jailed, but they were blissing out in Krishna consciousness. And what is better, to be inside the jail and be happy, or outside the jail and suffering? Krishna consciousness is blissful anywhere. It doesn't matter. Prabhupada said, in the air, in the land, or in the water, it's always blissful. Japataka Swami, His Holiness Japataka Swami, another example that comes to mind, you know. I don't know whether the medicine works on him or he works on the medicines. It's very confusing sometimes, you know. You know, the Lord wants to protect him, full stop. Come COVID, come some organ failure, come whatever. He's not going to go until the Lord has used him, no, nimitta matram, in propagating Krishna consciousness. And all of us, every single person in Krishna, in ISKCON, is always inspired by His Holiness Japataka Goswami. Now, whether we are His disciples or not, doesn't matter. We are always inspired by Him. And what is that one factor that inspires us the most in Him? Is His ability to continue Krishna consciousness amidst all apparent calamities that may come in our life. No? We may get little headache and, you know, may not be able to finish our 16 rounds. No. I mean, Krishna, you know, 13 has been done, but 3 is to go and I'm getting a migraine. So with little migraine, you know, sometimes we sit back and think to do these 3 rounds today or leave it for tomorrow. And of course, we should not leave it for tomorrow. No, 16 rounds means 16 rounds today. Prabhupada did not say you have to chant average 16 rounds. He said you have to chant a minimum 16 rounds daily. Yeah? So it has to be chant. We can't chant 16 today and 19 tomorrow. Of course, in case of emergencies, there are always exceptions. But we should not create emergencies ourselves. Yeah. So like that. So Japataka Swami Maharaj, you know, he's always displaying to us, you know, the purport of today's purport, which is Krishna consciousness in all situations, and the Lord will surely undoubtedly protect us. And Prabhupada used the word guaranteed. If we surrender to the Lord is guaranteed to protect us. Minus that surrender to the Lord, the best of medicines and best of physicians and doctors may not save a person. You know, so real life example. So, yeah, so always, you know, as I said, take some risk, you know, in Krishna consciousness for our own development and for the development of the others. If we don't take risk, we may survive. But if we take risk, we thrive. So in Krishna consciousness, if we want to thrive, take risk for Krishna. No, go out and preach. Now, Prabhupada also in his purport quoted this verse, if you remember, 9.31, Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati. O Arjuna, declare it boldly that my devotee never perishes. All of us know everything, right? It's like, you know, because when I was reading it as well, the purport, and I kind of read like this, O son of Kunti, declare it boldly that my devotee never, and all of you said perishes, before even I could get there. This is how much, you know, Melbourne is so strong with education, yeah? Even, you know, all the kids know this as well. So the devotee never perishes. Now, I want to elaborate on this verse as well, because this is another verse that sometimes gets misinterpreted, no, or misconceived. So when Krishna says to Arjuna that declare it boldly that my devotee never perishes, it does not mean, first of all, that we should intentionally continue to do mistakes and Krishna will protect us. It's not a free license or guarantee for us to do no matter what we want to do and then take it as a warranty that Krishna will save us. Now, what Krishna means is that if we do unintentional mistakes, the Lord is there to redirect us to the path of Krishna consciousness. Krishna is not looking at our lapses. Krishna is looking at what we are actually doing right rather than what we are doing wrong. It does not mean that He is oblivious to our wrongdoings. It does not mean that. It is just that as a good father, we look at what the children are doing positive rather than what the children are doing negative. But we are not oblivious to what they are doing negative because we know that that can become bigger and bigger over time. Yeah. But it's said in management terms, a good manager praises his disciple. praises, so used to Krishna consciousness jargon sitting on the Vyasa sir. A good manager praises his staff 9 times before he criticizes him. So Krishna looks at the 9 things we have done right before he punishes us for the wrong thing that we have done like that. He's a gentleman, right? He treats us very nicely. So Shipram Bhavati Dharmatma, yeah? Shashwat. Shashwat Shantim Nighachati. Kaunteya Prati Janimihi Name Bhaktiya Pranashyati. So declare it boldly. So then, another sub question that gets raised is that to say, actually the mistakes that we do, is that Krishna's plan? Everything comes from Krishna, we say, right? So are our mistakes also coming from Krishna? Has Krishna planned us to do these mistakes for which He will give us amnesty and then redirect us back to Krishna consciousness? Is that the answer? That is not the answer. Our mistakes are not Krishna's plan. But Krishna's plan is so broad so resilient that our mistakes are included in His plan. I'll repeat. Krishna does not plan us to make mistakes. But Krishna's plan is so resilient that our mistakes are incorporated in His plan. I'll give you an example to make the point. When the children go to school, the teachers do not plan the students to fail. But those students who fail are also part of the school's plan. And what is the school's plan for these children who fail? They can retake the subject, or they can retake the whole year in that class. So the failure on the part of the students is not the the plan of the law, of the school, but the school still plans for the failure. Or school still plans for the children who will actually fail. So both ways. So point I'm making is we should not dump it on Krishna to say, that you forced us or you desired for me not to come to the temple and therefore I didn't come to the temple. Now, a lot of time people say this, right? It's very typical from where I come from, from a Fijian background. People will say, when the Lord desires, then I will come to the temple. Some of you are smiling, so maybe you can relate to it. That's not true at all, yeah? What is the truth? The truth is that the Lord is always desiring for us to come. But we are stubborn not to come. And what is our stubbornness? Parents looking after them, children looking after them, working, collecting money, building the boat that will save us when it capsizes. So we put all the faith in our parents, in our children, in our school, in our job, in our office, in whatever we do. And what Prahlad Maharaj is saying is that, my dear brothers and sisters, those things will not save us. Prabhupada said, Janma, Mirtu, Jara, Vyadi, 4 problems of life. What are the 4 problems? How do we know these are the 4 problems of life? It is common to all, nobody wants it and nobody avoids it. CNN. There's a TV channel called CNN. So common to all, nobody wants it, nobody can avoid it now. So these 4 problems, which has got these 3 characteristics of CNN, will eventually come. So we can have all the money from whatever we are doing, but it will not protect us. But somehow or the other, it doesn't sink in us. We think, that if we take life insurance and travel insurance and, you know, have enough money to retire, then we will be happy. But we know this. In the history of mankind, Prabhupada says, there has not been any example where somebody has survived death. So, we have been talking so far about protection, that the ultimate protector is the Lord, and the subsidiary protectors are, you know, things of those material nature, and it is, Prabhupada says, as a matter of routine duty, we should make those arrangements, but ultimately be surrendered to the Lord. But here comes the juice. Rather than focusing on the protection, it is better to be focusing on the participation. The Lord comes down from the spiritual world, paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha duskritam dharma samsthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. The Lord says that I descend from the spiritual world to the material world. Why? So that the devotees can participate in my leela. You and I can participate in the Lord's leela. And what is Lord's leela? The Lord's leela is so sweet and so captivating that it attracts the devotees. The devotees relish Lord's leela. When we don't actually understand the tattva of the Lord's pastimes, you know, we can find the Lord's pastimes very amusing. And lot of times, you know, especially in my experience as well, you know, I come from a background when I didn't understand the philosophy before Krishna consciousness, but I still found the pastimes very amusing. But what Prabhupada has done to me, you know, by giving me the understanding of the philosophy, when you understand the philosophy to the pastime, what was amusing becomes amazing. And there's a difference. Amusing means, you know, I can enjoy the pastime, I can have some entertainment, some laughter, you know, Hindi mein bolte maza aa gaya, you know, I thoroughly enjoyed it. But amazing is, you know, when you just get attracted to it, to say, wow, this is unreal. As in unreal, yeah, if you know what I mean. So like that. So the Lord comes down to enact his pastimes, which is amusing and amazing, enlightening and attracting, so that you and I can participate in that pastime. Because we are not in the spiritual world at the moment where the pastimes are eternally performed, the Lord, out of his sheer sweetness, comes down so that even in our conditioned stage, we can participate in his pastime and assist him as nimit matram in expanding his message of love. So when we are focusing on the protection, either the remedial, you know, actions of the material world or whatever, protection can give us safety, but participation gives us satisfaction. Protection gives us safety, whereas participation gives us satisfaction. So it's better to be satisfied in whatever we have rather than feeling safe. You know, we all want to be happy. So therefore, you know, I'll conclude by saying that, you know, there is this golden opportunity for us to participate in bhakti. Whatever is our intrinsic nature, you know, our ability, we should utilize it in Krishna consciousness. If we can speak for Krishna. If we can cook for the Lord. If you can sing for the Lord. If you can dance for the Lord. No, these young girls were dancing so nicely for the Lord, so profusely, you know. Dance for the Lord. Hopefully it was for the Lord. And dance for the Lord. No? If you can make clothes for the Lord. No? We make clothes for everybody. No? If you are a machinist, make it for the Lord. If you can do whatever, do it for the Lord and participate. And then comes the bliss of Krishna consciousness. I was asked this question recently to say that, okay, I'm seeing all this, I'm doing all this, you know. Recently I was on a Dham Yatra, right? And somebody asked me to say that, you know, I can see all these things, but like how do I tap into that nectar? You know, how do I tap into that bliss? And my immediate response was, you know, to say that bhava comes from seva. When we save the Lord, then we enjoy Krishna consciousness. Otherwise it can become a tourist, you know, tourist activity when we go to the dham. So find some opportunity to save, and there is abundant service available. If we desire sincerely, heartfully, the Lord will send us some service. And the Lord already has got some service for us anyway. It's just that a matter of revelation for us. Yeah. So when we desire, the Lord will reveal to us. So, I will summarize that here, Prahlad Maharaj is praying to the Lord to say that people mistakenly take so many material remedies as their shelter, but none of them can save the people unless they are surrendered to you, Sharanagati. Prahlad Maharaj gave three examples. One was the boat, second was the doctor, third one was the parents, actually in the reverse order, but in any case, those three examples were given. And Prabhupada also said that declared it boldly. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that my devotees will never perish. So we have been given that guarantee that those who are surrendered to the Lord will not perish. So we should tap into that. And then I concluded by saying that, rather than focusing so much on the protection, leave that for the Lord to worry about. Let's worry more about our participation, our service to the Lord. When we do service, then we will be so busy in our enjoying Krishna consciousness that we don't have to worry about everything. Krishna will somehow or the other protect us. And we know this with experience. At every single moment, Krishna protects us. And that was the theme of my last lecture when I was, when I was speaking. And Prabhupada also says elsewhere that the Lord protects everybody else anyway. The Lord protects the animals in the forest. Their sustenance is the Lord only. So if the Lord is protecting everybody else, then why won't He protect us? It's just our faith may be weak. So once we develop that faith that the Lord is our ultimate protector and engage in His service, then it becomes a complete and nice rounded package. Okay? So I've got 10 minutes to take some questions and answers, questions and comments and corrections. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Excellent class.
Thank you, Prabhu.
So what we need is surrender to bona fide spiritual master and serve him as best as you can. Thank you.
Surrender to the Guru, yeah. Bona fide. Prabhupada said it has to be bona fide, yeah. There are two types of Gurus. One is the real Guru and the other one is a king Guru. So don't surrender to the king Guru. Surrender to the Guru.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dhanavad Pranam. It's very, very nice class, Prabhuji. Very nice points explained. Prabhuji, you concluded with saying that Seva will bring Bhava. But it's very nice to hear. But what lacks us not to get satisfied even after doing seva? That's what, after few years of chanting, of few years of service, we still don't get that protection or participation and that satisfaction.
Yeah.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah. So the question was, that seva brings bhava, then sometimes, although we do seva, we don't get that that bliss in Krishna consciousness. So what is that inhibitor? The answer is that the mood of our service. The mood of our service can be twofold. One, I'm doing this service to get prestige. That I can give a nice lecture, I can sing nicely, I can cook the best food. Sometimes, when devotees cook, they will go around asking, how was the prasadam? In other words, it's like, I want you to know that I cooked, like that. So if the mood is self-centered, then the bliss might not be that, expansion. But when the mood is genuinely to save the Lord, then then that bliss comes. And trust me, I again have got several experiences on this, and I'll share that. In my own experience, and my main server is to lecture. Sometimes I prepare the best of my lectures to my ability, and I come and give the lecture, and nobody appreciates it. And sometimes when I'm not like fully prepared, it's like, Krishna, I don't have time, like there's so many things, and it's dragging to the last minute. And I come and speak when I'm not fully prepared. I get so many text messages to say the lecture was so nice. So, when the dependence is there on the Lord, then the right things happen. And then, you get rewarded by the Lord. But when we think we can pull it off on our own accord, without too much dependence on the Lord, then trust me, no matter how much we prepare and do our seva, the mood, the bliss doesn't come. And I'm sure all of you might have your own experiences as well, whether you are cooking or making garland. We might be the best of the people who make garland. But when the mood is not right, the flower just doesn't stick together. But when the mood is right, the flower not only sticks together, but actually when you put it on the Lord as well, everything looks beautiful. So the mood has to be there, that my Lord, this is for you, not for me. So if we move away from self-centeredness to Lord-centered, then it all works out. And I know what you mean, because I've been there, done that myself, It's like, as I said, we make mistakes. But this is exactly when Prabhupada quoted that verse, declared boldly that my devotee never perishes. So even if time to time we have that ego of, you know, we have done well, the Lord will correct it. That's the point. It's not so much of an intentional mistake. Yeah, we don't, as devotees over time, of course, we don't go out to seek prestige. But sometimes subtly it might come. But those are the things, at least in Krishna consciousness, we know that we now realize to say, oh my God, you know, why did I expect that? And we immediately correct ourselves, yeah? And how do we immediately correct ourselves? That is exactly what is that Chipram Bhavati Dharmatma Ves means. The Lord is sitting in the heart. And He redirects us to say, ah, Madhuranda, once again, yeah? Ah, still looking for prestige. Oh my silly boy, wake up. So like that, you know? So He corrects us, yeah? Sure, you have your own experiences, yeah? Like that, okay? Anybody else? Yes, Prabhu. Maybe we'll go this side first. One this side, so it's a little balanced.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you for the wonderful class.
Thank you, Sima.
Prabhuji, you mentioned at the start of the class how that Lord Narasimhadev was angry with the demigods because they didn't protect Prahlad Maharaj against the wrongdoing. So we see the same case in Mahabharata when Draupadi was being disrobed in the court. Nobody protected her. Her only shelter was Krishna. So in that case, was Krishna also angry with the Pandavas and whoever was there?
Oh, very nice question, yeah. Super nice. She's taken the example to another level, you know. So the Lord was angry with the Devatas for not protecting Prahlad Maharaj. So similarly, when the Pandavas didn't protect Draupadi, you know, was the Lord angry with the Pandavas? Let me say this. We know that the Lord was not happy with Narasimhadev, was not happy with Bhishma Dev. That is for sure. And that is why Bhishma Dev, you know, met, of course his death was glorious and he is a pure devotee of the Lord. But still to make the point that no matter how powerful, why did the Lord want Bhishma Dev to fight on the opposite side? To make the point that no matter how powerful you are, if you are on the wrong side, you're not going to win. Even if you are my pure devotee, but if you take the side of the wrongdoers, you're not going to survive, no matter how powerful. And in the entire battlefield of Kurukshetra, the most single powerful warrior is Bhishma Dev. But he couldn't. But we can't say that we have to be careful with Bhishma Dev, because again, as I said, once you understand the tattva, the pastime becomes amazing, yeah? So Bhishma Dev is a pure devotee, he's one of the Mahajans. So we can't relate our mistakes with his so-called mistakes, yeah, because the Lord also makes him do certain things, so on and so forth, yeah. In case of the Pandavas, was the Lord upset with him? I don't know the answer, but I do know that at one point in time, when Arjuna had taken a vow that he will kill Jayadrath, right, before the sun sets, and the sun was setting, and Arjuna had not been able to kill him, and the Lord, and then when Arjuna said, oh, Krishna, the sun is about to set and I have not been able to annihilate Jayadarath, and I had taken a vow that if I don't kill Jayadarath by end of the day, then I will die myself, I will retire. So Arjun said that I am in trouble now. And Krishna said, what is wrong with you Pandavas? Why do you take such massive, substantial vows without thinking through? Yeah, think through. You didn't ask me before whether I should take this vow or not. Now you took this vow and now you are struggling and then now you are telling me. And we are like that Arjuna as well, time to time, right? We make our plans and when it doesn't work out, then we tell the Lord, yeah, we made all the plans, but yeah, it's just not working out in my life, you know? Some mishap has still happened. And Krishna smilingly from the altar says, yeah, you should have told me your plan. And I would have told you that this is my plan. So we plan and the Lord also plans. So there is a contradiction sometimes in the two plans. So that's why I said, you know, for a devotee, and Prabhu asked the same question, we should pray to the Lord and present our plan to Him, to say, please take this off, please sanction this. If you so desire, and I'll act accordingly. So always cross-check with the Lord. So Arjun was told by Krishna, yeah, you could have told me before, proactively rather than reactively. So coming back to your original question, was Krishna angry with the Pandavas for not protecting Draupadi? I don't know the answer. Anybody knows the answer? Yes, Prabhu, Mahatma Prabhu.
You said very correctly, Prabhupada, we want you to live.
Hare Krishna. When Prabhupada was about to leave the body, devotees wanted that we want you to live for longer. So Srila Prabhupada said, all right, I'll ask Krishna. And if Lord Krishna says, I can live more, I will live. So he asked Lord Krishna, and Lord Krishna said, if you want, you can live longer.
Yeah. Okay.
So.
Anybody else? Yes.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. How do we practically lose faith in the material remedies of life and have more faith in Krishna for protection?
How do we practically lose faith in the material remedies and have faith in Krishna? That's the point I was saying, that we don't have to lose faith in the practical, in the material remedies. We don't have to lose faith. If we have a toothache, don't lose the faith in the dentist. He's probably bound to cure us. So we don't have to, it's not that we have to lose faith in the material remedies. It is that we have to see the material remedies as a subordinate to the spiritual remedy. So if we have problems, see the experts, material experts out there to guide us. But we should know that the ultimate sanction, protection is coming from the Lord. So if the Lord is not willing to protect us, then these experts will not be able to save us. But if we have full faith in the Lord's remedy, then even if we don't have faith in the material remedy, the Lord will make material remedies in our life. So no need to, that's exactly the misconception that I was trying to eradicate. No need to lose faith. But see, have faith as a dependence on the ultimate Lord as the protector. Yeah? There's a nice example, you know, that I can think of. It will take me a couple of minutes to explain, but I will say it, because that makes this point. Now, this is of course not from the scriptures, you know, but this is just still making the point, you know, a folk news, let's say, you know. Once there was this man who was devoted to the Lord to some extent, yeah, sadhaka. And he was in a village. And in the village, you know, it started pouring rain, you know, substantial rainfall. And when the rain started coming, you know, people started getting worried. You know, they started leaving, you know, their house because they feared that the flood water might rise too much. And some fled. And some people stayed back. You know? So it was raining more torrential every day and every night. The rainwater was rising. And then the family members of this man, they left the house asking him to join him, because he said, if you stay here, you will die. And the man responded by saying, I am surrendered to the Lord. I'm not going to flee like you. I'm going to survive. The Lord, if He is there, He will protect me. So what he did, he stood on top of the table where the waters were not reaching, and he said, the Lord will protect me. He's the only one left now. And then it was raining more. Now he's all alone in isolation. So as the water was rising, he knew that he is going to drown. And he said, I'm a devotee of the Lord. The Lord will protect me. So he went onto the roof and stood there. Now the waters can't reach him. And he said, now the Lord will protect me. Why do I have to flee? And it was raining more. It was a small house, right? And it rained. It's raining more. The waters reached the ceiling of the house. And now he is thinking, oh my God, what is happening? And when the water started drowning the house itself, it reached the roof. And somebody came with the helicopter. Before that, somebody had even come with a boat. When he was about to go on the roof, somebody came with the boat. And he said, no, the Lord will protect me. So when he reached the roof of the house and the water is now reaching the roof of the house, somebody comes with a helicopter to say, mate, you're going to die. Come into the helicopter. He said, no, I'm surrendered to the Lord. The Lord will protect me. And the water raised more, and he neglected the offer of the helicopter. The water raised more, and eventually the house was sunk fully, and including the man. He drowned. He died. So when he reached the Lord, he said, mate, I have been surrendered to you. I had full faith in you. You didn't protect me. Where is your guarantee of protection? Why did I die? What did the Lord say? Fool! I sent you the family members who guided you to get out of the house because I knew you were going to drown. Then I sent the boatman. You still, you know, neglected it. And after all this, you give me so much of headache. I had to send you a helicopter. You still neglected it. Who can be more fool like you, that I gave you all these remedial measures but you never accepted it, and now you are dead, you are blaming me? So the remedial measures are not to be neglected, was the point. If the helicopter has come to rescue you, you'll take the helicopter. Don't expect the Lord to appear all of a sudden to say, oh my Bhakta Vatsala, please come. He may do that he may also do, but we have to be so surrendered for him to do that. Otherwise, for sadhakas like us, neophytes, he will send the helicopter and the boat. So please accept it, not neglect it. It's an assistance from the Lord only, indirectly through his material nature. But so when the boat comes, when we are drowning, take it as the mercy of the Lord. That the Lord has arranged this person for us at this point in time to help us from the crisis. Yeah? Get the point? Okay. So we'll park it here. I think you had one question. I've got 2 minutes left.
You mentioned about Pashyata and Prashchita.
Yeah.
So how to tune one's mentality rather to get into this whirlwind of Pashyatap and go to Prashchita where I can take some action?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So that's a good question. You know, so how do we move away from just internally beating us every time for things that we have done wrong to taking some concrete external actions, you know, so that we don't repeat those things? What are some of the actions? The action should be, well, first of all, our thing associate with the devotees. When in my own experience now, when I associate with devotees, you know, in terms of reading Bhagavatam or chanting or discussing something, when I see their lifestyle of how, you know, how do they take actions, what do they think, you know, what do they say, it inspires me to lift myself to one another level. And sometimes, you know, let's face it, sometimes we do mistakes that we may not be able to reveal to others for the fear of losing confidentiality, you know? And we have this in our own community as well, right? There's so many people out there who seek counseling, and we have got so many nice counselors as well. But we also know that, if I can say this, or at least I don't know of any counselor in our community who is a devotee and a professional at the same time. So if you have a professional devotee counselor, that's the jackpot. But if you don't have either of the two, then we have to make the best use of the bad bargain. Yeah, and a lot of times on the fear of being rejected, on the fear of losing confidentiality, you know, we don't reveal to others our wrongdoings. And perhaps in future, you know, that gap might be breached, you know, when we get a professional devotee counsel like that. But in the meantime, we have got some people who are pretty experienced with this, so always. So those are the people who can guide us to move away from both, you know, paschatap and prayaschita, from the remorse, from the atonement, to bhakti. Because bhakti itself is the remedial measure. The best atonement for anything that we have done wrong or thought wrong is bhakti itself. So Krishna says, sarva dharman parityaja mam ekam sharanam braja, aham tvam sarva papebhyo. I will relieve you from all sinful reactions. What does Krishna mean by that? He means that, first of all, three things he means. First of all, that aham tvam sarva papebhyo, of all the pap that we have done, sin that we have done, we do not need to be pure devotees to begin Krishna consciousness. So with the baggage of sin that we have come with, fine, continue Krishna consciousness from here only. No? So we may be unqualified from bhakti, but we are never disqualified from bhakti. Yeah? So continue our Krishna consciousness with the baggage that we have done. And second point he makes is that for the sins that we have done, we do not need any other atonement before we begin Krishna consciousness. So Krishna consciousness itself is the atonement. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo. And third thing he says is that if you take on bhakti, even if we do unintentionally make some mistakes, he will protect us. So Prabhupada quoted this verse the most number of times, right? Sarva dharman parityaja. Because the point is, and good that you asked this question, because the final point about protection is that the Lord is there to protect us. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshishyami ma sucha. All the Lord requires us to do is asking us to come to Him. So seek devotee association, seek guidance, seek counseling, reveal your heart to somebody that you trust, and then we can move away from the internalization to the externalization. Yeah? Does that help? Okay. I'll park it here. Tantra Srinivasa Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.